Hello, 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 my friends. Welcome to the Next Step Podcast. I'm your host, Jarrett Sanchez. I want to thank you for joining me today. Today is going to be a bit of a different kind of show. I'm playing an interview that was not conducted by me. It was conducted by Jim Ruff, who was actually a guest for my episode, The Wisdom of the Circle. Jim Ruff is part of Dynamic Consultation, Wisdom Council, Wise Democracy, all that stuff. Very great work. And he did an interview, I think back in 2000, somewhere around there, with Tom Attlee, who you've heard mentioned on this show and probably still know very little, next to nothing about. And so this interview that Jim Ruff did will help kind of flesh out a little bit of what Tom Attlee's all about, you know, where he's coming from and what kind of work he's engaged in. Right now, he's moved on to from his co-intelligence work to focusing heavily on conscious evolution, and that's something I'm pretty interested in. Although it's a bit more of the philosophical, metaphysical side of things, and whereas Tom's work with co-intelligence to me seems a bit more on the practical side, although it covers a lot of philosophical, metaphysical territory. But in any case, you're going to hear, it's about a half hour long, you're going to hear Tom talk about the Canada experiment in particular, which is the inspiration for his coining the term Citizens Deliberative Council, which, I don't know, the Canada experiment's a really good way of seeing how these things can actually happen. And if they're picked up and utilized by the population, by the citizens, you know, they can have really great effects. You heard me talk about the coffee party movement, and there's a lot of things that I didn't say in that episode simply just because, you know, for me it was time to just put the episode out. That was the feeling, and unfortunately a lot of ideas got missed in the process and in the interview, but I think quite a bit came across, and again, what I see the coffee party movement as a vehicle for some of these other things that I've discovered through people like Tom Attlee and Jim Ruff. And so I'm not trying to, you know, be real big about the whole coffee party movement thing. I mean, it's just something that I see as a symbol for what is necessary at this point to really begin this process of coalescence and getting all these tools into people's hands, and from there discovering where we're going to go. And to speak a little bit about that, I'm going to read a brief passage from Tom Attlee's book, The Tao of Democracy, Using Co-Intelligence to Create a World that Works for All. And I believe I read this passage on the very first episode of the Next Step Podcast during my very long, rambling, probably incoherent rant about what this show is going to be. And now I haven't listened to that first episode in at least a year, year and a half. And I wonder what I said back then. For anyone who hasn't heard it, maybe give it a listen and email me at thenextsteppodcast@gmail.com and tell me what you think about it. Because I really don't remember what I said very much. But the spirit's there, baby. Don't worry. So anyway, I'm going to read from Tom's book, The Tao of Democracy, written in 2005. Under the heading, A Desirable Unfolding. At a very deep level, I believe that those of us who are beginning to build a more co-intelligent society, a global wisdom culture, are stepping into a totally different game. One of the biggest differences about this new activism is that everything in the old world, the old structures, all the experiments and methodologies, even the problems and catastrophes, everything is a resource for what we are beginning to do. And what we are beginning to do is different in kind from anything that we have tried to do before. We are shifting from thinking of social change as an effort to solve problems and achieve an ideal society, to realizing that social change is an ongoing process that we can enhance and make wiser. Our goal is no longer a desired state for society, but rather a desirable unfolding of society. In other words, we are not trying to engineer a new society to our specifications so much as trying to jumpstart certain innovations which will, we hope, elicit society's conscious and continuous recreation of itself to its own changing specifications as needed to meet the challenges, changes, and opportunities it faces. So, we are not actually talking about utopia anymore. Perhaps we are talking about utopiation, an ongoing journey towards ever better societies. And with that, I give you Jim Ruff's interview with Tom Attlee. See you on the other side.
Of mine, and I feel really fortunate to have him here this evening. Tom is a dynamic social activist philosopher. He's really a philosopher of social dynamics. And how I met Tom was through the internet, and he was a person who turned on to the Wisdom Council before anybody else by about 4 years. And so we've carried on a conversation since that time. And so I'd like to introduce Tom. He's he's a deep thinker, and I think we'll really enjoy having him here. So, Tom, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about how you came to this being a social dynamic philosopher.
Well, I was born into an activist family. And was sort of raised in the adversarial activist model, peace activism and anti-racism and environmental issues. And I discovered after many years working as an activist in that model that it didn't work very well, that we weren't creating things. We kept bouncing around. Wherever there was a problem, we would bounce around to deal with that problem, and another problem would be over here, and we'd bounce around at that, and it was like, now wait a minute, we're not getting anywhere, there's no progress happening. And at first I began to explore how to help like peace groups work together better, and discovered all sorts of very interesting collaborative methodologies for that, and then began to ask, well, maybe communities could work better together. Maybe the whole society could work better together. And then it ceased to be, you know, peace issues and racism issues and environmental issues. It was like, if we could somehow get it together to deal better with all the issues, we'd be better off across the board. And so I began to attend to what I came to call the collective intelligence of the society. So we have, here's a whole society, and it has ways of perceiving what's going on around it. You know, the media kind of bring us information from our environment. And then there's ways of reflecting on what's going on. You know, I have academia that goes, you know, well, it's this and this and this, you know, thinks about the social issues and feeds it out to the society, various experts, you know, thinking about things, reflecting about them, Congress deliberating. And then we have the actual making of decisions, trying to come to some kind of coherent vision of what should be done. And Congress is supposed to do that, you know, the president's supposed to do that. And then taking action as a country, as a unified society. And when I look at the problems, you know, the problems seem to be getting bigger and bigger and worse, faster and faster. And the capacity of our society to actually solve those problems is not growing apace at all. All of our brilliance is going in, you know, we have great cars that can drive us anywhere, and they're creating global warming. you know, when we have the refrigerators that work, you know, are wiping out the ozone layer. All of the things that we so brilliantly do are adding up to collective stupidity. It's sort of like, I ask people if they've ever seen co-stupidity, and they usually laugh, you know, chuckle. Yeah, they've seen, everybody's seen co-stupidity. And I say, you know, do you have any idea what co-intelligence is? And, you know, people usually go, well, no, I don't know what that is. And it's kind of a commentary on our culture that we know what co-stupidity is, even though we've never heard the term. And co-intelligence is kind of a, you know, what is that? So I began investigating things that would actually help our culture deal with any issue, whatever it was. So if you're an environmental activist, the chances are you have all sorts of great solutions to environmental problems, but nobody's listening, and the culture's not taking this and kind of working it over and actually doing something with it, you know. And if you're dealing with poverty or hunger or drugs or school violence or whatever your issue is, you know, you look at the society and go, it's not working. It's not, people are not moving ahead with these problems well. And so I was looking very consciously for things that would help that. And that's one of the reasons when I stumbled into some information, I can't remember how, somebody sent me something about it. And I read it and it was like, wow, the idea of having a group of randomly selected citizens who are established formally in the upper echelons of our governing structure, and each year you just take a bunch of these citizens, put them up there, and give them a good consensus process, and they come up with some agreed upon statement of, you know, where are we at? You know, where's America at? What are people concerned about? What are they seeing? What directions they want the country to move in? And then sending that back out into the culture, it's like this big feedback loop, you know, a collectively intelligent feedback loop, so that the people can sort of look up to this thing that's the people and see themselves reflected there, but at a level of wisdom, at a level of insight that they themselves can't generate in their everyday lives because they don't have good ways to get together in their everyday lives. I'd seen good consensus process as an activist. There's lots of activist groups who work by consensus, everybody talks things out until they come up with a decision that really makes sense for all of them. Is very typical in activist communities. But you can't do that with, you know, 260 million people. You can't get them together and work things out. So this was a very brilliant sort of, you know, leaping over this problem of how do you use the genius of consensus process with a gigantic population? And I was telling a friend about that, and she said, there's something you'd be interested in. She digs in this pack of old magazines, and she came out with this magazine, McLean's magazine from Canada. It's like the Time magazine of Canada. And McLean's asked their polling firm to identify the basic opinion groups in Canada. You know, it's like the Quebec independence people and all that. Who believes what about the future of Canada? And so their polling firm came up with six big categories. And they said, okay, polling firm, find us articulate spokespeople to represent each of these viewpoints. And they came up with 36 people, and McLean's then interviewed each of those people and picked a group that not only represented those six viewpoints about Canada's future, but also represented gender diversity, racial diversity, geographic diversity. So it was a scientific selection of a representative, not representative like our Congress is representative, but just demographically representative. You kind of have a bit of everything in this soup. And they picked 12 people who covered this kind of ground. And then they hired a leading facilitator from Harvard Roger Fisher, who is an author of a book called Getting to Yes, who facilitates all sorts of conflicts around the world, to come up. And they said, you got 3 days to come up with a consensus statement about what the future of Canada should be. And Roger Fisher, you know, works away with his team, with all these 12 people, and they go for like 2 days, and it's like, oh my God, you know, it's a mess. Everybody's yelling at each other. They can't seem to get anywhere. Real intractable problems. And Fisher and his team stay up all night working over the chart pads that they've taken during the day. And the next, you know, the last day, and there's a breakthrough. And by the end of the day, they have their, you know, like 5 pages of fine print recommendations about the future of Canada. And Maclean's magazine wrote about this, like 39 pages in here, describing the people and the process, and editorials that say our government's been spending millions of dollars, you know, surveying people and doing focus groups, and nobody thought to bring together people who are different. I mean, that's the problem, is everybody's different. So let's bring together the different people and give them some process. They can work through their differences, find their common ground, use their different perspectives to get something that's like really creative and powerful and wise. And they did it. And they go, this should be happening elsewhere, you know. This is a hot thing, they say in these editorials. And it isn't quite like your Wisdom Council. There's significant differences, how the people were picked, and this was a one-time thing, and your Wisdom Council is a regular thing, but it was like two of the same sort of thing. It was like, if you have people who are different, and then put them through a good process for working through their differences, not in a weird compromise sense, like the Republicans and Democrats, you know, I'll give you some pork for your district if you'll vote for my... It's like not dealing even with the substance. But this is real, get down to the nitty-gritty. We're all basically people. That's a real common ground. If we're in the same country, we have common grounds, all sorts of common ground. Find the common ground places to stand on, and then create things that are really compelling. Yes, we should do this. By the end of this meeting, these people were crying and hugging each other. You know, people who were fighting before. I mean, it's really a bonding kind of experience. And I had a friend investigate what happened to this, and these people were changed, their lives, everybody involved with this, the people from Maclean's, the people who made the TV documentary about it in Canada, the people who participated, everybody's lives were changed by this event. But it didn't get picked up by anybody. It was really
even
sad.
Even Maclean's.
Yeah, well, they did one follow-up 6 months later, but they were, the people who were in charge of this at Maclean's said to the fellow I'd hired to investigate it that nobody before had contacted them. They were like really delighted. They even wondered maybe they should do another report because somebody was asking.
So you were the first person.
The first one to talk to them too. You know? And it's really sad to have lost this. This is 1991, which is like 9 years ago.
Yes.
And it just shows that it's possible. It's not your Wisdom Council. You've tried it little bits here and there, but it hasn't actually had a real full-scale experiment.
Yes.
And here is something that's very close that did have a full-scale experiment, and it resonates between your model and theirs. And then I stumbled upon another model from Denmark, where several times a year the Danish government will pick 15 people, and this is done really carefully. They have it down to a science about how to pick people and run a process so that when it's over, nobody can say it's biased. I mean, they work this out really hot. So they pick their 15 people to represent the Danish population on an issue. The last issue, one of the last issues they did was genetic engineering of foods. You know, the Danish government wants to go, you know, what sort of policy should we have on this? So they pick a bunch of people, and they hire journalists to do sort of white paper, summary papers of the issue. Okay, genetic engineering of foods, who believes what about it and why? So that there's a kind of the whole landscape of opinion about this, very briefly, you know, 25, 30 pages. And all of the people, these ordinary citizens, read this. And then they get to clarify with organizers, the organizers that are hired by the government, discuss with these citizens what questions they have after reading over this, and what experts they should interview in order to get insights into those questions. So you'll get the Monsanto guy who says, you know, genetic engineering is the best thing, you know, since sliced bread. And you get the Greenpeace guy who says, you know, this is really bad, we should never do it at all. And you get them, you know, the citizen council can ask these people questions. They can get them, you know, talking to each other, you know, really working it over in a way that, you know, ordinary citizens have no access to this kind of information gathering and processing. So when they've talked to all the experts they can think of, it's like, okay, now we all know everything about this that we can find. We don't have any more questions that seem to be answerable. They may have questions that, you know, a lot of these issues, there's lots of unknowns in. And then they're sequestered with a professional facilitator and facilitated to a consensus. You know, it's the same thing. Probably different processes used in all of these, but the basic idea is having a process where everybody gets to speak, you know, what their concerns are, the ideas they have for solutions, you know, all the different aspects of the problem, and keep on working it over until they come up with something that they go, yeah, this is, given where this is at, given all we can figure out about it, given our values, you know, it's like the citizens are in charge of the values and the connection of these issues to everyday experience, because that's where they live, and that's, the government policy is going to impact citizens in their lives. And it's, you know, what's good and bad depends on what your values are. And the experts are there to say, well, you know, these are the dynamics. This is what's going on with this problem. If you do this, probably this is going to happen. If you do that, probably that's going to happen. They're not supposed to do the value stuff. They're supposed to give the details, the specifics, and they are on tap to the citizens, not on top of the citizens. You know, the citizens gather information from them, process that information, and come out with these statements that are then given to the government, here's what we recommend, and they're given to the population at large through the media. This process, some people say, oh, that wouldn't work in the United States. You know, Denmark is a very homogenous country and all that, all the people are kind of the same. So this place called the Loka Institute actually did experiments here with telecommunications policy and picked 15 people from Boston. And they have, you know, the housewife and the retired farmer and the inner city high school graduate and the, you know, mid-level high-tech executive, et cetera. And these wildly diverse people are brought together and go through the sequence that the Danes go through, came up with this brilliant stuff that really impressed the congressman who was in charge of telecommunications. So it is doable here. And it's like, wow, there's something going on here. Each one of these has the same kind of pattern. It's like, let's get diverse people together whose diversity is very similar to the diversity that we find in our culture. And then let's give them this process, some process that will help them work through and use that diversity creatively to come up with a great statement. And then let's reflect it back to the population.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, I'm going, wait a minute, there's there's something going on here. None of these people, I mean, you know about this stuff, and they don't know about you. And, you know, it's like something's going on that this pattern is beginning to surface.
Yes.
And I knew about all these things for several years. And then just last year, I discovered that a fellow I was working with on totally separate issues was doing something else, dramatically different, but with the same model. He's saying, take an issue, like they just got a grant, the group that he's involved with just got a grant to do the first experiment with this. They picked school violence, youth violence, as their topic. So, okay, we're gonna go, who's working on youth violence in the society already? You know, whereas the conservative Christian church groups, you know, the radical, independent family people, whatever. It's like all across the political spectrum. What Congress people have this as their favorite topic. You know, maybe you get the National Rifle Association has some person who's handling youth violence issues, whatever. Get them all together in the room and then work on a consensus. Try and get all those diverse people to come to a consensus. If you succeed at that, you don't have to advise the public and the government. These are the people who are already working on it. You know, it's like bingo, 0 to 60, you're off to the races. They're expecting it's going to take 2 years to get the consensus. Yeah. You know, it's done, you know, every quarter or something, every several months, they bring a bunch of these people together and work it over. And this is another experiment, but it follows the same model in a drastically different design. And each new one that I get, I go, whoa, this is a whole different way of thinking. We have this majoritarian, you know, if we get 51% of the people vote for a proposal that somebody thought up that's not them, then they win, and anybody that didn't like it has to fight it to get their proposal in. And it's like, if you win, you know that whatever you won could get the rug pulled out of it by the next election or by some court case or whatever. It's like everything is always, you know, try this, bid it, overturn. It's just constantly shifting, and everybody's confused. You know, the Congress doesn't listen to the people. You know, the corporations have taken over, you know, the media and the elections and all. It's just like, this system is really bonkers, and it's got adversariality built into it. It's got the battle built into it. And it's so much better than an authoritarian, you know, dictator or, you know, whatever. But it is so far short of the kind of problem solving and opportunity taking that we need to be doing with the size of problems we have. I mean, the problems we have, we're running into the range of problems that could just wipe out everybody on the planet in a matter of days or weeks if something went wrong, you know.
Yes.
Nuclear weapons, genetic engineering, ozone. I mean, it's just like we're getting to build more and more of these mega problems. It's not like crime in the streets. Forget crime in the streets. We are going into major high gear in terms of what we can do to destroy ourselves and everything around us. And we need really effective means of working over these problems.
So you're concerned about the level of collective intelligence that we show. Mm-hmm. And you've discovered these consensus processes that involve citizens and that and there's a number. One is the Wisdom Council, and then there's the one from the Lakota mm-hmm. Institute.
Summaries,
that's right.
Here.
Oh, good. Yeah, the Canada one and the McLean's and the Danish tech panels and then the National Commons. I don't know that one.
The National Commons is the one with the people who are already working on the issues, gathering them together. Last example that I gave.
Okay.
And this is like, I don't know what the next ones are.
Right.
You know, maybe we'll invent them, or maybe they're just going to, we'll discover somebody's been working on it for the last
yes.
6 years.
But you don't mention the ones that are there that are not consensus. Like, for instance, there's the citizen jury, and then there's Jim Fishkin's the deliberation that was on PBS, the National Deliberation Project, or whatever it was, and the National Issues Forums, and there's a lot of others, but they aren't consensus.
I think it's sort of like a collective intelligence efficiency quota. Or, you know, it's like if you were to figure out ways to be to get to really good decisions or great wisdom quickly, how would you do it? And it feels like consensus, a lot of different consensus processes, and I would love to have real research about different consensus processes. You have a very powerful consensus process. I've taken your course. Your course is now being taken by somebody else who's an expert in other consensus processes. You know, research to really figure out what are the best means in different circumstances for doing this. But all the things that are categorized as consensus are based on getting a diversity of viewpoints and using that diversity to craft something that will speak compellingly to the people who are like the people in the group that came to it. It's like, so you have a thing that, like a Congress, it's like 50, 60% lawyers and millionaires. It's like, we're not lawyers and millionaires. That's not me in Congress. When I look at Congress trying to find somebody like me, I don't see anybody.
Well, do you ever see anybody?
Yeah. But it's like that, and lots of people, you know, women look there and they go, well, there's a few, you know, it didn't used to be at all. Yeah. You know, it's like, that doesn't represent us. So the decisions they come up with, how can they possibly come up with decisions that speak to us?
Right.
They're not us. But once you get all those diverse people in the room, I mean, anybody who's gone to a public meeting knows that when you get diverse people in the room, all hell breaks loose, you know? And it's like, that's not just the solution. Just getting mass participation doesn't solve it. You need a process that will actually use all the gifts that those different people have to offer and create something coherent out of it. At the point you have that, you have something very powerful if you can feed it back into the population. And that's where I feel all the different things that you were saying and lots more are valid as forms of public dialogue, like the National Issues Forum and stuff. I don't expect the National Issues Forum to come up with wisdom for the society. I just expect them to work over an issue, you know, and they do that, and that's great. And I think if the Wisdom Council and things like that were part of the system, then you would be have some kind of collective wisdom to inject into that additional dialogue, you know, rather than just this interest group, that interest group, this person who knows nothing about it, that person who knows nothing about it, dump all that together and whip it up and you get this confused mess. If you have real wisdom that people can recognize coming from one of these well-facilitated representative groups and you bring it down into the public dialogue, people are going, huh, wow, that's interesting. I'm glad somebody's finally saying something that makes sense on this that I can hear and use. What might we do with that? Or doesn't go quite far enough. And suddenly the discussion is at a different level entirely than it was before.
Right.
So we need all of those things. But we definitely need the things to bump the dialogue up to a higher level of wisdom.
And a lot of our decisions, we were talking about this before the show began, not you and I, but the crew here, just a lot of our decisions are being made without any conversation at all, really. We were talking about cell phones and the fact that they could be harmful to health. In fact, Tom Moffat's written articles on this. And that information, that conversation in the current system can't really even happen.
Right. And with technology, the impact of technology on our democracy is unbelievable. It's like, here I am, I'm a citizen, I'm supposed to be in charge of creating the things that, you know, the rules that affect my life. And it's like, how can I do that? You know, this is all so specialized, I can't know about this stuff. And most people are like that. I mean, it's like, we don't effectively have a democracy. Even if the corporations didn't control the elections and the media, we would not be able to track it well enough. That's why things like this Danish technology panels are useful, because they take the time to really get into and understand things. You know, I have to pick some interest group that I believe in to represent my interests, but they have an axe to grind. You know, every interest group has an axe to grind. I don't know if they really serve my interests. I just have to pick the best I can from a bunch of bad, you know, possibilities, compared to having a group of my peers really studying the issue in a way that I don't have time for,
yeah.
You know.
So what are you, I know we don't have much time, but so what are you optimistic? What's our prospect for really turning this around?
Well, I think if you look at the mechanics of the situation, our goose is cooked, you know, in a nice linear kind of way. If you look at the way everything's going, it's like, forget it, you know, we're over the waterfall. But I like to use the metaphor of a wall with a crack in it, you know. The crack is really tiny compared to the mass of the wall, but that's where you can stick the crowbar and start pulling the wall apart. Or the hole in the dike, whatever, those metaphors. The size of the problems, the complexity of problems is not the whole story by a long shot. And chaos and complexity theories are demonstrating more of that. You know, the butterfly that can flap their wings and create a hurricane in the right conditions. So the sense that we're moving into a time of great flux, where a lot of these problems are coming to a head. You know, we're in an era of consequences, kind of, in the 21st century. And in those times, anything could happen. Really good things, really bad things. And for me, optimism and pessimism are both cop-outs. That we are co-creators of what's going to happen next. And that's the stance we need to learn to move into. Whatever's happening, even if we're bystanders, we are co-creating. You know, it's like the audience in the theater co-creates the performance. We are the audience of these historic developments, and to the extent we take an active role, will influence what happens. And I think that's a much healthier kind of response. And then you don't have false hopes, and you don't have, you know, this isn't the movie. You know, it actually isn't the movie. It isn't the play. We're the people who are going to make what happens happen. And to stand by going, wonder, you know, all these horse race kind of stuff that you hear, you know, who's going to win the elections, you know, this kind of, you know, we are being taught to be consumers of our democracy rather than creators of our democracy and spectators. And that won't work. The giant evolutionary experiment that is happening right now involves us being the fullest we can possibly be and growing up into that real quick.
That's great. Thanks, Tom, as I bang the mic. Thanks a lot. And you and I are going to keep talking, and I'm sorry to exclude the rest of you. But I guess that's all the time we have left for this moment. But I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from Tom, and his website is www.cointelligence.org.
Jim Ruff and Tom Attlee. I'm really curious to know what you think about that. That interview was, well, it was posted, it looks like March 7th of 2000. And Tom didn't actually write his book, The Tao of Democracy, until 2005. And even then, in 2000, he was pretty much on point with the rest of the stuff he talks about in The Tao of Democracy, although he goes into so much more other stuff in the book. What you got a taste of here was just, it's a big part of I'd say what co-intelligence is all about. It's an idea of getting people together with a good process, not just putting a bunch of, you know, diversified people into a room with really big issues weighing down on them and saying, okay, well, here you go, figure something out. It's getting these people together in a room and giving them a good process to work through, having a bit of facilitation going on, not just throwing them together and expecting results. And I think that's what people kind of understand as a consensus process, either that or it's just something that maybe people in my generation could kind of understand in school, where they try and get people to work together in groups and, you know, do group leadership activities and really generic stuff that never did anything for us and was just really a waste of time. A lot of jobs I've had actually do stuff like that too, and so far I really haven't encountered any place that's putting into practice these really powerful processes that I've been introduced to mostly through Tom Attlee. And the Canada experiment, I just always like, it goes into a lot of detail in the book, I've always liked, and it goes to show, you know, the stuff is out there and it can be done, and it only requires attention from people. It's a shock that nobody had followed up with McLean's and said, hey, well, what's going on with that? Well, you know, can we do that somewhere else? Like, it just pretty much passed over everybody's head. And if anybody read it, it was just kind of like a feel-good article to them, probably. You know, like, oh, that's so great. You know, what's next? We're just always used to what's next. We're looking forward to what's next. And, you know, we miss a lot of stuff in that process of waiting for the next damn thing. Because to me, it seems like this is what's next, you know? Yeah, I guess that's kind of why I called the show The Next Step, because I'm trying to, you know, put together the things that I see as being able to, like, you know, help us figure out what's next. But it's already here, you know what I mean? It's like in our face and just waiting for people to pick it up and start using it. So if anything, I would hope for the audience, for you, the listener, to start digging into this stuff and make it workable in your life in some way if you can. I should say, maybe I just hope that I can inspire you towards something like that. I don't know, it's just great work. This to me is where it's at. When I talk about politics, when I think about politics, I don't think about the partisan bullshit. I don't think about just what you normally would think of as politics. This is what I'm talking about. Social process activism. Really, the We the People movement. You know what I mean? Like, not this fake democracy, this faux democracy. Okay, vote. You know, vote. Get a little educated on the issues. You know, some people are quite educated. They study political philosophy, political science, all that stuff. That is a very small percentage of the people. The average citizen that I encounter and have encountered in my life in Northern Illinois, well, you know, has no clue of the, you know, democratic process, and certainly has no notion of empowerment and actually being the government. And that's something that at least I was taught in school, throughout school, that the people are the government. In a democracy, in America, the best country ever, we know everything, we do everything the best way, and the people are really the government. It's not the government, the people we hire. They just represent us. It's a representative government. And it's just like, you know, it's a fucking fairy tale, man. It's such a fairy tale. And that's what's led us into a fascist state, which is what the United States is now. It's a fascist country. You have corporation and government, the revolving door of politics in Washington, D.C. That's it right there. You know, and it's not the bad guys, it's not the conspiracy, it's not, you know, the commies, it's not the right wingers, it's everybody's fault. It's all of our fault. Previous generations especially. And so it's like we gotta turn this shit around, and to me, when I look at what Tom Attlee's doing and the stuff he's pointing to, that's it for me. That's the way. And so if some of the people listening to this might wonder why I, like, talk about this guy and I bring up all this weird consensus process stuff, and it's because, to me, that's the only chance we have, at least in the United States. I think this stuff could be really powerful in other parts of the world if courageous people really stepped up and just start hammering it out. I really would like to hear some of your guys' thoughts on this stuff. The email is thenextsteppodcast@gmail.com. 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 I guess how I'm going to end this podcast is kind of hammer the point in. That there is a lot of stuff. There's this question that everybody has. Well, what can we do? You know, there's all these problems and we don't know what to do. What can we do? And to me, like, discovering, you know, the Tao of democracy and co-intelligence was a huge thing, because it's like, well, shit, this is, here we go. Here's something we can start doing. We can all start learning this shit now. You don't have to be somebody with like a 140, 150 IQ to know how to, you know, throw a world cafe or an open space session, or to become a dynamic facilitator, or just to become somebody who is able to get groups to work together peacefully and to, you know, start creating like localized media, localized feedback loops and stuff like that. Like, feedback loops is a huge part of what Tom Alley does, you know, connecting the bottom to the top and everywhere in between, like in real time, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have feedback loops between us and the government right now. The feedback loops are there, I mean, yeah, technically, but they're so, like, long and stretched out. The lag time is, you know, and the representation isn't there, you know, the people don't know what to do to get involved, and as far as, you know, a republic goes, we're doing pretty poorly here in the United States. So anyway, what can we do? And there's a great chapter. It's one whole chapter, and it's like a page and a half long. Chapter 9, the list goes on. And the list is Aikido, Anticipatory Democracy, The Big Picture Puzzle, Biodynamic Agriculture, Biologic, Bioregionalism, Brainstorming, Campaign Finance Reform, Citizens Consensus Councils, Clearness Sessions, Cobb Houses, Co-Counseling, Co-Housing, Co-Incarnational Manifestation, Cooperative Education, Cooperatives, The Commons, Community, Community Building, Complexity Theory, Composting Toilets, Consensus Process, Contact Improv, Creativity, Curitiba, Dance, Danish Citizen Technology Panels, Deep Diversity Work, Delphi Process, Despair and Empowerment Work, E-Prime, Eco-Psychology, Eco-Villages, Emotional Intelligence, Enneagram, Family Systems Therapy, Feedback Systems, Fishbowl, Flow, Focusing, Forgiveness, Fractal Patterns, Full Cost Accounting, Future Search, Fuzzy Logic, The Gaia Hypothesis, Game Theory, Gaviotas, Global Peace Force, Graphic Facilitation, Group Awareness Exercises, Group Psychotherapy, Group Silence, Group Wear and Other Electronic Co-Intelligence, Healthy Cities Movement, Heart, Heart Math, Holistic Management, Holographics, Holon Theory, Humor, The I Ching, Imagineering, Improvisational Theater, Indigenous Science, Industrial Ecology, Integraphs, Intentional Community, Intuition, Jazz Improvisation, Juries, Lateral Thinking, Learning Exercises and Games, Learning Organizations, Learning Styles, Less Work, More Life, Listening Projects, Living Democracy, Mediation, Meditation, Mondragon, Morphogenetic Fields, Multicultural Literacy and Experience, Mythology, National Initiative for Democracy, Natural Capitalism, The Natural Step, The Next Step Podcast, The New Story, Networking, Nonviolence, Nonviolent Communication, Neurogenesis, Open Focus, Open Sentences Practice, The Option Process, Panarchism, The Partnership Way, Personality Typing, Planning Cells, Popular Education, Prayer, Precautionary Principle, Process World Work, Project Vote Smart, Pyramid Analysis, Quaker Meetings for Business and Worship, Retreats, Salons, Scenario Envisioning Work, The Six Thinking Hats, Social Dreaming, Storytelling, Study Circles, Subsidiarity, Sustainability, Synchronicity, Synergic Power, Systems Thinking, T-Groups, Tavistock, Team Building, Transformational Philanthropy, Transperspectivity, Values Barometer, Widening Circles Exercise, Wisdom Council. The list goes on and on and on. How do all these things fit together? What would happen if we use them all synergistically? Could they help us build a new culture? A wiser civilization? Well, you tell me. See you around.
Thank you. any citizen over there, stand up and say,